Hallelujah. It's Christmas, right? Snow on the ground. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love and your goodness. And God, we pray for all those that are traveling this weekend, to protect them in every way. And be with us this morning and just speak to us and just say, come, Holy Spirit, come, speak to us. And each heart to be open to what you have to say. And Lord, and just fill me with the Spirit. I just speak words of the Spirit and nothing of the flesh, Lord, and we just want to give you the honor and glory in all things. And so, really speak to us this morning and give us insight, Lord, to who you are, your power, and how you're moving in the world. So, God, we praise your holy name in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, this morning, we're going to look at wisdom from above. Wisdom from above. We're going to open up with James 3:17. 3:17. And in case some of you will see me, I preach from usually the English Standard Version. I mean, it's because it's more literal. And so in literal and like in studying, you can just, okay, this is literal what it says, you know, and some the there's safety in that. But then when I want to get a good feel, a lot of times just how the flow is in our common language, I'll use the NIV or I'll use the Century Standard Version. And the reason, because their focus is on that, the literal word, but what they do, they try to translate it in a way that flows in the English. That's the only difference. It's the same. They're trying to make it flow. So I'll use it just so the flow's better, and I think is a result. It helps us get our arms around it. Anyway, if you want to know that, why I switch back and forth, there's a reason to my madness, okay? So let's look here at James 3:17. It says this, but the wisdom that comes down from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Now, as we think about what we've been going through these last couple of, these last several weeks, we're going through the book of James, and so there's a flow and there's a context in what he's communicating here. So although this verse stands well alone, what we have here, when we look at the context, we see previously in the same chapter, previously in chapter 3, God has shown us in no uncertain terms that the human tongue is like the fire of hell and no one can control it. That's what the first part of chapter 3 is about, the first part. Now what God does, he counters that. He counters the hellfire of the tongue with the wisdom that comes down from above. And so that really helps when you just look, oh my God, this is hellfire. The tongue's hellfire. Nobody can control it. Boom, that's a good message. 15 verses or whatever. Okay. But what it is, it really is, now it flows into the next verse. Okay. This is the hellfire of the tongue. Okay. But now when we're having, this is my wisdom from above. Now you can tell the difference. You can tell the difference. So the whole idea is that we can see the difference so that we will avail ourselves to the wisdom from above and even help us to say, oh my God, I don't want to be caught up in the hellfire of the tongue. And by the way, both sections are to the church. They're to the church. So this is what we see right here. And so now if we look at this coming from the flaming hellfire of the tongue, and we see what we have here, we recognize this, what comes from above. Well, if we're honest, we immediately recognize that our tongue falls short of God's wisdom from above. Right? It's like, well, gosh, I hope I'm not the fire of hell in my tongue. Okay, this is what's supposed to be. He goes, I'm not this either. I'm falling a little short on this area in verse 17. So here we got this contrast that the Lord's communicating to us so that we will step you know, be motivated to step away, that our tongue will communicate the things from above and what those are, and we can recognize it. And so we're not fooled a bit. We see it, we recognize it, and he's presenting it very clearly here. So even though we fall short from verse 17, we also recall in chapter 2, verse 8, that we're under the royal law of love, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Are you all following me what I'm saying here? So what God, so he's laid something out here, okay? Those are standalone messages, okay? But they really all flow together. And when they flow together, you go, okay, wait a minute. I see what he wants from me, and I see how I'm supposed to walk in this life, okay? And so there's a connection here, that this wisdom from above is tied closely to the royal law of love and the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. Amen? Okay, let's go back to verse 13. It just backs up into the introduction to this section. Look what it says in verse 13, James 3:13. See, what James is saying here, so okay, now that you have this understanding, about the tongue, the hellfire of the tongue, I have something to tell you because you already understand something. See, he's assuming we paid attention to the previous verses. He says, I'm assuming you understand something now. Listen to what it says in James 3:13. It goes, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness of wisdom. See the flow? Love, you came from the tongue, hellfire of the tongue. He goes, now you have understanding. Now I want you, since you have understanding, I want you to show this good understanding by your good conduct. Through the meekness of wisdom, all that tied together. Now here's something very interesting. This original word here, and you should circle this or put it in your mind, or you put it. Say, who is wise and understanding among you? The original word for understanding, describes one who is an expert who has special knowledge or training. Okay? So you have understanding. No, you know something specific. You know something specific. So it says you have some special knowledge and understanding. So he's talking to us. Now, I know I'm pressing it. He's talking to us, and we have special understanding. What's our special understanding that he's told us? What is it? It's a tongue. He says, you know. I've explained it to you. Okay? So since you have understanding, okay, I'm going to tell you the rest of this. See, there's a huge connection with the fiery tongue. He says, now you have special understanding because I just taught you this. You paid attention, you understand it, and you will apply it. We are the ones who have been taught and have the special knowledge of the royal law of love. We know. Right? He's going, we know. You know, people go to church for 20 years and they come up and they're not any different from the day you met him. Okay, God goes, wait a minute. No, you should be different in these two chapters. Now you understand. Since you understand, this is what you should do. This is what you should do. So he's making a point. It's like, oh, we had 3 weeks ago the royal law of love. We did, yeah, that's great. And, you know, and then we had the tongue. And then, wait a minute. No, that's all connected. That royal law of love that was so powerful that formed our behavior, and then we get this craziness about the tongue, and he goes, now you understand what we're dealing with, and you can beat this thing because you understand, you have special knowledge of the royal law of love. You see what I'm saying? See? And then if we do, we behave this way. Our tongue changes. Our tongue changes. Since we have a special knowledge of God's royal law of love, since we have this knowledge, we are under obligation to show it by our actions. See, now we didn't know before, you know, we just, he goes, well, I know, okay, but here's what's, okay, now you understand, okay, I understand. Okay, now you should show it by your actions. Something should happen now. Show it by your actions. Now he adds something here that we'll get, that we're going to look more closely at, and he said, and you're going to show this by the meekness of wisdom. Is this right off the top of your head? What is that? Well, that's important because that's how we're supposed to show this. He's telling us, okay, you're going to show this in the meekness of wisdom. What's wisdom? Wisdom is to know what to do. And so it's a meekness of wisdom is how you're going to show this, what you've learned. Now, here's something fascinating. The word meekness, the word meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Americans, English language, you go, meek is weak. Okay, you go, you're to be meek. Okay, just let everybody slap you around and, you know, we're just done. God will take. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Meek is not weak. Meek is not weak. The word used for meekness or humility, NIV has humility, okay? So, and there's one reason, like ESV has meekness, NIV has humility, and because the word doesn't translate well into English. How do you about that? The word used for meekness here doesn't translate well from Greek to English. And so, okay, this is our best shot at it. The people translated the English Standard Version said, well, I think it's better meek. And the guys who translated the NIV said, well, I think it's better humble. And they're both close, but miss the mark. You're close, you know, what is that? You're close, but no cigar. Okay, you're close there. But what you see here when you look at the word, and the word was used to describe a horse that had been broken and trained to submit to the bridle. That's how they used it. Here's a horse, he's really meek. Well, his man, he's broke, he's gentle, and he's controlled by the bridle. He's meek. Now, what's so funny, I've shared this before, and I love this, because I have ridden, I don't know, horses all my life. I mean, I know horses like, that's all I knew until I was 25. So I just know all about horses. I've ridden, I don't guess I've ridden hundreds, but I've been more than you could count, horses. And I broke horses, okay? I broke horses, you know, untrained horses, stuff. And I've been thrown off of horses, just absolutely thrown off, several times thrown off of horses, you know. And it's like, I always, no, I'm not going to say it. Well, I'm going to say it anyway. I used to teach these kids, and they had this little helmet, and you trot them around. I never had no helmet. And no helmet, you know. And my dad wouldn't ever gave me a helmet. And, you know, in fact, he'd get upset if I got my hat dirty. He'd go, like, so anyway, that was my life. You know, you had horse, I remember horse ran away with me and jumped over a fence and fell over and rolled, and both of us rolled up over it. You know what my dad told me? Get on your horse. Not how you doing, you feeling? You get on your horse. Okay. Anyway, it's just a different life. So when I read this, when it says, you know, there is this weakness, it's to describe a horse that's broken and trained to submit to the bridle. Well, I've ridden both of them, the ones that weren't and was trying to make it, and the ones that were. And so you have the one that ran away, jumped over the fence and rolled, and we both slid out through the dirt. And then you had the other where you could trot up into a herd of cattle and just move your wrist. That's all you did. You see? That's all you did. I mean, that's a big jump. Same horse, you know, when it really was two different horses, but they were both horses, okay? And you get up there, and literally, you could turn your wrist, and they'd spin in a circle. Spin. You know, they were trained. They were trained to do that. Well, this is what this is talking about that trained horse. Meaning, that the other horse is kind of nuts. So you got a choice. You got a choice about which horse you want to be. So what you have here, though, meekness is strength under control. Meekness is strength under control. It's a horse where you just touch your wrist and you move. Like a little bit, and they move. See? Meekness is strength under control. Same horse, same muscles, same wildness, but one's just out of control, running through fences, and the other you can just touch your wrist and they do what you want to. See? And so God says, you're like that horse that's under control. All I got to do is whisper and you obey. All I got to do is mention and you turn. See? He says, you're meek. And he goes, and you're supposed to talk to people in the meekness of wisdom. See? We're strength under control. Strength under control. And so, important word when you look at this. Now, what's interesting, and you think of like Moses, he's parting the Red Sea and calling down fire. And there's all sorts of things going on with Moses. Listen to this. In Numbers 12:3, it says this. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. Who's the meekest guy in the Bible? Moses. Kidding me. He's like, man, he's kind of like that wild horse that ran through the fence. No, he wasn't. He's the one that would move immediately when I spoke to him. He was meek. And the power that came through him was mine. It was mine because he just listened to me. And so my power flowed through him. Then Moses was meek because he had wisdom from above and did what God said to do. So you approach people in the meekness of wisdom. In the meekness, you do what God says to do and you hear what God says to do, and that's wisdom. The meekness of hearing and doing is the meekness of wisdom. You with me? So it's just like, hey, you read there, just kind of a throwaway verse. Yeah, let's just be weak and let people smack us up around the head and we're godly. It has nothing to do with that. In fact, it's absolutely nothing to do with that. God goes, no, I'm telling you how to release my power. I'm telling you how to release my power. Now, look what verses. We're going to get back to this. We're going to go back to verse 17 about the attitude to release this power. Oh, you're pure and considerate and sincere. You're watching. I whisper to these people, and then all sorts of things happen. I work through these people because they're broke. Broke. I don't have to jerk them around. I have to just twist my wrist. You see what's happening? And that's what this is saying. So it's like, oh, my goodness. See, so because Moses was meek, he had wisdom, and he did what God said. All that's connected. Then God poured forth his power and majesty through him. Moses understood the strength of meekness. Now, this we're going to go back to that verse 17. It's like, well, that's where the power is. Yeah, you're weak, but God's not. You're just coming under who God is and being used by him like that trained horse. Like that trained horse, not like the crazy one that jumped over the fence. I think church is full of crazy horses that jump over the fence and call it and try to give God credit for it. Now, so Moses understood the strength of meekness. Now, therefore, we need to be alert. We need to be alert not to operate out of the human flesh. Okay? Because that's a crazy horse that jumped over the fence and fell down and rolled. You know, see? So we want to be careful not to do that. We won't pay attention because we won't be that other horse. It's just a strong but under control of God. See, under control of God. That's it. That's the whole thing. Now, so we understand that God wants us to say, now you need to be aware of the human flesh, because the human flesh is the crazy horse. Okay. And by the way, the crazy horse is the flesh in the world and in the church. And this taunt people in the church. If all the crazy horses would stay out in the world, be okay, but they keep coming in the church. Okay. So we're full of crazy horses here. And so he's trying to tell us that. So he says, okay, this is how I want you to behave. He goes, but here, let me remind you what you shouldn't do. I'm going to jump back to chapter 3 before us, because so I want to remind you what you shouldn't do. Now, you have understanding, but before I go on, I got to remind you again what the flesh says. Now, I didn't put the whole thing here, but I want you to look at James chapter 3, 14 through 16. Natural flow here. I just put James 3, 15 for you to see the overhead. But this is what it says. He tells us what the human flesh is. Okay, the crazy horse that runs through the fence. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. See, that's the thing about crazy horses that run through fences. They get up and say, look what I did. Look what I did. You know, I'm on fire for Jesus. Look what I did. You know, and you just kind of look at the residual around them and say, oh my gosh. You know, never seen anybody like that. He goes, don't boast about what you just did. You know, don't boast about that. It says, or deny the truth. I didn't do that. That wasn't my fault. Anyway, so, but verse 15, which you, the crazy horse, okay, the crazy horse that just doing what he wants to, trying to give God the credit, is, this wisdom, this selfish ambitious, bitter envy in your hearts, boasting, such wisdom does not come down from heaven. It doesn't come from heaven. See, the thing, remember what we open up with, this is the wisdom from heaven. Okay, he's okay, let me show you again what doesn't come from heaven. This wisdom does not come from heaven, but it's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. He's talking to church. He's not going, you know, let's go out and get our next door neighbor and preach this to him. He's preaching it to the church. He's, no, this wisdom, what you're doing and claiming his wisdom, it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. The church. Yeah. Now, see, it's easy to recognize our flesh. It really is. It's easy to recognize our flesh. It's our self-will. It's our self-will, you know. It's what I want to do, you know. And I want you to come with me to do it, and then we're going to give God credit for it. God said, hey, I'm not doing that. But we can do so much for you. You know, God goes, I can handle my stuff myself. Listen to me. You know, well, when we do it out of our self-will, what these verses tell us, it's a demonic-induced disaster. It's a demonic-induced disaster. This self-serving wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Dear church people, it is not only earthly, but it's unspiritual. There's no part of God in this. There's no part of God in it. Jude gives us a good picture of unspiritual natural instincts. Unspiritual natural instincts. Look at Jude 19. Have an overhead this. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. Mere natural instincts It's what they know, what they're familiar with, and what from their own self will. And they don't have the Spirit. They don't have the insight and the prompting of the Spirit. Now, there's a couple of things we want to look at, and we need to, when we look at these verses, the vision is a key indicator. Just always recognize it. Something caused the vision. I don't care who it is, what it says, me, or anything. If there's something to communicate, a division, that's an indicator that, wait a minute, this is unspiritual here. This is not spiritual. And also, this seal, and by the way, you can, people that do this, there's a zeal, a lot of them. In fact, the words here indicate in original that there is a zeal in this operation. So there's a zeal of inspiration in this kind of wisdom. So there's a zeal of inspiration of this kind of wisdom, but it's not godly. Not godly. Inspiration then means godly, okay? So there's an inspiration, but it's not godly. It's inspired. That's the reason you think it's inspired. There's an inspiration. It's inspired, but it's inspired by the devil himself. Ouch. See, that's what they're saying. Well, and you think about the devil. Like I said, devil's smart. He's smart, okay? He didn't come in here and, you know, come up, I'm the devil. Yeah, you know, run around, you know, screaming around the room and stuff like that. That's not how he works. That's not how he works. See, what he works and what he wants to do is cause division. What he wants to do is cause problems. What he wants to do is make you have a question about things. And so what he'll come in here and he'll do something that'll cause a division. See, he's okay. Now I got it. Now I can have these folks at each other's throats. Done it. I'm good. I'm good. He did it. That's all he had to do. You know, or there's disorder. There's disorder in trying to figure out what's going on. So there's an element of disorder. Satan goes, I'm good. I'm good. You see what I'm saying? And it's reason. So that's how he comes into the church. When the Paul says, when he is talking about Satan, he goes, and we understand his schemes. And he doesn't tell us what his schemes are. He just says, we understand them. I said, well, I don't know if I understand them or not. Well, here's some right here. Division and disorder. That's his scheme. See? He works, you know. Hey, everyone will see some nasty stuff going. Get the people in the church crossways. They'll be nasty. You know why they're nasty? Because they're both right. We don't have a church full of people that are wrong. They're right. So you see? Well, if I'm right, you're wrong. And so there's a nastiness that develops in the name of Jesus. Nastiness in the name of Jesus. And so ultimately, what we have here, I just came to mind, I remember that. Oh, by the way, I'm not preaching out of this in theory. I'm preaching about this, lived through it, like several times. And some of the time, I've been participant making it worse. So anyway, and so as a result, you know, I shared with you, said, don't do that. You know, I have first-hand information. This doesn't work out well. But we had a, this was, we're going back 25 years ago, and we had an individual that caused, I mean, you wouldn't believe the division he caused. It was incredible. And he had a word from the Lord. He had a word from the Lord. So and I mean, it was like bizarre. And he's really close. But it was just bizarre what was happening. Without getting into the gruesome part of it, my God, why even I thought about this? I thought I have confessed it and threw that in the garbage. But anyway, it just came back. Anyway, I was talking to, well, who I was talking to is Leon Price, a real prophetic guy, and he had unbelievable time, you know, ministry to us in this church, and just a powerful guy. We taught us so much about the prophetic and spiritual gifts, and unbelievable. He's going to be with the Lord now. And so I met with him, and I told him, I said, look, I don't know what, this is what happened. He said the most interesting thing to me, most interesting thing, and it ties into this section. And I just went through, and by the way, this was out of left field. This guy, there was no build up to this. It's just like, hey, he's a brother all the way, and then all of a sudden he's off the tracks, and, you know, and definitely felt I was way off the tracks. I mean, it's amazing how quickly that happened. So I explained to him, and it's funny when you talk to somebody much older than you are, they, oh, okay, really? And they're not surprised because they've seen all this before too. So it's like, you know, but he made this one comment, and he said, okay, he says, was he overzealous? Is he overzealous? That's all he said. Is he overzealous? I mean, we're all here for zeal, right? On fire for Jesus. Ah, you know, we're on fire. And his comment, he goes, is he overzealous? And I said, well, yeah, he's zealous. He said, okay, he's overzealous. And what that means is that he sees stuff in the Word, and he's not taking it from Christ, because if Christ showed you something, you would walk out in it normally. Show the power of Christ. But when it's of the flesh, you're zealous and you'll blow it out because you're zealous yourself about what you thought of. He says, Christ is not zealous. Christ is just normal. I think y'all can take that to the bank. Somebody come at you and they're just zealous, you know, it's like, that's a lot of them. That's a lot of them. You know, they're proclaiming Jesus, but that's a lot of them in there. When Jesus comes in, it's like Moses parting the Red Sea. You know, you get up there, watch me. I'm going to scream and holler at the people and hit the ground with the stick and run around in circles and holler at the God. No, he just, okay. He just held the stick out and says, watch the salvation of your Lord. You see what I'm saying? That's how God works. He didn't have to scream, holler, run around in circles. He just go, lifted his hand. Watch the salvation of your Lord. You watch Jesus. Jesus, same thing. Let me come here. Let me touch your eyes. I mean, that's it. You know? So, but anyway, he said, Jesus acts normal. He acts normal. Zealous people are communing themselves. And that's what, in ultimate turned out, this is what this guy was doing. And holy God, I give that back to you. Never to remember that again. We get but anyway, you see what's saying here. So he's telling us something, you know, about the flesh and how the flesh works within the church, within the church. And the thing about the earthly, unspiritual, demonic wisdom, it always brings disorder. In fact, you can almost, and this is something, disorder, which then brings every evil practice. And this is right in this section. He's explaining this in this section. I'm not just thinking this, adding this up. He is explaining here. He says, this is what happens. I want you to know what's happened. And then there's division, but there's disorder. When there is disorder, God's not present. Or is it, well, if I could just fit, every time I go, I do this, I put this fire out, and this fire comes on, and I'm doing, what in the world? And everybody's getting confused, and I'm trying to explain everything. Disorder. God's not present. Even when you're putting out the fire, you go, need to step. God's not present. We need to just step away from this thing, because God's not in it. You can't fix it, because God ain't in it. Well, if they would just understand my great wisdom, which nobody has to date. But I keep thinking that, you know? And it's like, no, my great wisdom makes it worse. See, because what is, God's not in it, so wisdom is irrelevant. Wisdom's irrelevant because he's not in it. He's not in it. And so this is what this is saying right here. So it brings disorder and every kind of evil practice. And again, a good thing to know, when you see disorder, okay, you want to go in and fix it. Your first thought, which should be, is like, God's not in this. So I'll step in, but I'm going to be real cautious because I know God's not in it. God's not in it. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not a God of disorder, but peace. Amen? You see? So he's trying to help us out. And again, where's he trying to help us out? With our neighbor that doesn't know Jesus? No, in the church. He's trying to help us out in the church. You know, in the church. So get along. You know, why can't we get along? And because Satan knows, Paul says we know his schemes. These are his schemes. This is how he works. This is how he works. Okay. Everybody have that? See, now again, that's kind of a repeat from first part of chapter 3 about the tongue of the hellfire. I mean, he brought it back. I didn't do this on purpose. He just brought it back. He said, I want to make a point. You need to understand what's going on here because I want you to have peace. Now, so after we said all that again, however, we understand. We understand. We know what, okay, know what's going on. We understand. We have expert knowledge. We can live out the wisdom that comes from heaven, the royal law of love. We can live it out because we understand. You know, walk over here. I don't know what's going on. A lot of disorder. Jesus must not be involved. Okay, I'm the God. Come, we need you to go before us and figure this out because something's not clicking the way it should be. You know. And what I've learned is like, well, just listen to my wisdom and I'll explain it to you. Those are the last words you ever say, you know, before somebody hits you with something. It doesn't work. But why? I have so much wisdom. Why? Because God's not in it. You all with me? See, we just think we can bring, you know, project God in it. No, we can't. We let God work through us to do what he wants to do. But we want him to go first. Like, come on. I've even learned his Wallace, come on. I said, you sure about that? Come on, I mean it now. All right. You know? Now, and it's easy. You know how you get this kind of wisdom? This is really how I get this kind of wisdom. From people hitting you over the head with a stick. You walk in and people hit you over the head with a stick. After a while, you go, I don't want to go in anymore. Then God goes, go in. I said, but they'll hit me with a stick. He said, no, you'll be all right. I went first. All right. You see what I'm saying? That's kind of earthly discipline. God's discipline. God is a God of discipline. So, hallelujah, since we have this expert wisdom, right? The royal law of love. That's what he said. It's it. The whole thing right here. Now, let these words roll over you. 3:17. We got back to 3:17. Just take a deep breath. This is God said. Okay, this is how it works. This is how it works. In your life, not anybody else's, but in your life, the whole world's out of order. The church is out of order. People are out of order. People are calling down curses on you. Okay? But this is how you function. This is how you function in this realm in which God moves. 3:17. Now let just flow over. God said this. Thus saith the Lord. James 3:17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere. Don't you just feel better? And you go, but these people don't act like that. He didn't tell them that. He told you that. When people don't act that way, you're supposed to act this way. But God, that's weak. That's weak, God. No, it's not weak. That's meek. That's the power under control. That's how I will work through your life. And you'll see me, because there's power. That's the reason you go through the meekness of wisdom. See, you always thought that was a cute word. Meekness of wisdom. That's cute. You know, don't even know what it means, but it's cute. No, it's powerful. Like Christianity hangs on it. God moving in the world hangs on it. Now, here's something else I want you to notice here. And this is something over the years the Lord has taught me, and you've heard me say it before. So you're looking at this behavior, right? I want you to notice something. There are not any rules here. Not one. They're not one rule. Not one. Well, shouldn't we throw in a thou shalt not kill in that someplace? You know? Which, when I've been sharing my wisdom, I've thought about homicide a few times. You know. Should we throw in a thou shalt not steal sometime? Shouldn't we throw in you shouldn't run off your neighbor's wife? Shouldn't we throw that in there? No, it doesn't need to be in there. In fact, legalism totally, listen to this, legalism totally destroys the work of God. If we have to put a thou shalt not steal, we destroy God's work and we can't live that out. We cannot live that out if we put that in there. Legalism destroys verse 17. Does not work. The Apostle Paul was, just hated legalism. Hated legalism. And he said within legalism, says God abhors legalism. And he called it a curse. And if you had legalism, and that you were cursed. So you go to a church with rules, then they stand up proclaim a curse. Now it's good to suppress, but they proclaim a curse. You see what I'm saying? There's no rules in this. There's no law in this. But the love of Christ flows through this, and you'll behave like Jesus. Legalists cannot behave like Jesus. They can't. They got to follow the rules. Got to follow the rules, which quenches the spirit. They have no power. They have no power. And it'll be the most judgmental people you've ever seen in your life. Pharisees. Pharisees. So, These qualities, and this is what how James makes sense. If you don't do this, you know, this James doesn't make sense. So if you have this and you understand this, these qualities in verse 17, these qualities flow from the Holy Spirit through a transformed heart. God, Holy Spirit flowing through me through a transformed heart. And give him Wallace's life. Don't steal. Don't steal. Don't steal. Holy Spirit, through a transformed heart, don't steal. Don't steal. After a while, all I can get off my mind is don't steal. Don't steal. And the Spirit is quenched. Don't steal. It's quenched. Don't steal. It's quenched. If it's gone, it's, oh, I love Jesus. I want to obey Jesus. I want a pure heart, good heart, powerful heart, which doesn't steal. Y'all with me? I mean, it is, but that's what he's saying right here. That's the reason the Apostle Paul was so, you know, hated the whole thing of the legalists that followed him. The legalists that follow him. So the legalism separates you from God. Separates you from God. Now, so here we are. So when we're looking at this, so here's some application. Okay, if it gets to, we're still on verse 17. Good, great verse. Absolutely great verse. The royal law of love. Great verse there. If words come to mind, say we're just going here, like if I'm preaching here, I try to apply this and don't do it very well often. If words come to mind that are pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, very likely the Holy Spirit is speaking. How do I know the Holy Spirit's speaking? How do I know? Didn't see nothing. The heavens didn't part. I didn't hear audible voice. What came to mind in your natural mind that God used, your own natural mind that you use, and He brings things to mind. But how do I know that was God? Like when I'm sharing, somebody's arguing with me and I'm thinking about homicide. That wasn't Jesus. It didn't fall in verse 17. It did not work. But if I'm sharing something in a pure heart, a considerate heart, a loving heart that wants to share God's truth, that's probably the Spirit. I can speak that. I can say that. In anything part of your life. Any part of your life, you can see how that works. If words come to mind that are pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere, it's very likely the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. He's using you as a tool. That's what it sounds like. Do you love that person you're sharing with? Do you care for them? Do you want them better? You just want to put your arms around them. Love them with God. God, I care for you. Words are probably from the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we should be very hesitant to speak. If my words are not like that, I should just, maybe I shouldn't say that. You won't believe how many, maybe you would believe, how many times up here words come to mind and I think, maybe I shouldn't say that. There's probably a lot I say I shouldn't say, but there's a bunch I don't say that I shouldn't say that I know I shouldn't say because they don't fit this. They don't fit this. I'm thinking it, but it wasn't generated by the Holy Spirit. So, here's a practical how it works. You want to know how it works. This is how it works. This is how it works within the church. And it's very interesting what Jesus said. We're wrapping up here. What Jesus said. Jesus said, now we're fixing to go to the next verse. But Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Now what do you think about that? What do you think about it? Trump has sent his, I think, it's his brother-in-law, son-in-law, and is a peacemaker, sent one to Israel, but this time he's sent in Ukraine. Peacemaker. So he wants us to be like Trump's son-in-law. Is that what he's talking about? He's not talking about that. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers. I'll say it anyway. Who knows? You can assess whether God gave it to me. If that thing get resolved in Ukraine, okay, you know what I'm talking about. Peacemaker. Whether it does or it doesn't determine who's going to heaven or hell. That make any difference as far as heaven and hell. It makes a difference earthly. Who God knows what's going on earthly. But it does not make any difference about who's going to heaven and hell. And God is talking, blessed are the peacemakers, because they have impact on the people going to heaven and hell. That's who he's talking to. If you want to go work for Trump, that's good. Okay, but the peacemakers are here sharing Christ and are keeping peace. See, in this context, blessed are the peacemakers. Thus, Kings 3:18. It's not just a loose out there hanging verse. It's tied to this whole section in chapter 3. Look at James 3:18. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Who's he talking about? He's talking about, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere. And these peacemakers who sow like this in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. That's who I work through. That's who I work through. My peacemakers are the ones that understand the royal law of love. And they operate in that. And they focus on that and filled with the Holy Spirit. And they speak from wisdom up above that flows out words that are consistent with this. People who sow in peace in a peaceful way cooperate with God and harvest a good crop. Do y'all realize how powerful that statement is? Do you realize how powerful this statement is? Listen to it again. This is huge. This is huge. Applies to everyone. People who sow in peace. Oh, these are weak people, you know, slapping around people. They can't do anything. They won't stand up for anything. No, he already told us this, the meekness of wisdom. They have their strength under control because it's God who works them. They're meek because their strength under control. They know. See, people who sow in peace, in a peaceful way, cooperate with God, with what he's doing, and harvest a good crop. Why? Because God did it. You just cooperated with him. He did it. But you said, okay, I cooperate with you. That's what meek people do. See, their strength under control. Strength under control. Do you see how powerful this is? And Jesus goes, blessed are the peacemakers, the ones with strength under control. They're the ones I use. Hear God and they'll do what I say. See? And you can look. You can observe, you know, what follows people. You know, you follow somebody's life, and it's an absolute train wreck. We'll move from here to here, it's still a train wreck. You move here to there, it's still a train wreck. Why? Because they're a train wreck. You know, we run around, try to fix train wrecks. Well, we'll move them here, you know. Okay, you move the train wreck. You didn't help nothing, you know. But I've just heard Jesus. You didn't hear nothing. That's demonic chaos. Gosh, Wallace. You see what I'm saying? It's just like, know what's going on. Now, you talk about yourself. Like I said, I just go here. There's a problem. I go over here, and there's a problem. I go over here. There's a problem. And I've already told you my problem was me. The common denominator with my problems is me. Okay, so it's the same thing. You know, my train wreck follows me. You know, and you can't move me to fix my train wreck. You got to fix my train wreck here. And then God, okay, if that's fit, now I'll move you. It's so logical, it drives you nuts. All right? Isn't it logical? Oh, I don't know. You ain't looking. You're not reading. You're not seeing what it says. You know, So what do you do? God's people should be marked by this godlike quality, not insisting on their own rights according to the letter of the law, but exercising love's leniency, promoting peace with meekness, strength under control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now again, what I do, like we look at, you know, verse 17. I want everybody around me to act like this. I want everybody around me to be pure, peaceable, and loving, and nice to me. Right? And I thank you, Jesus. I deserve this. But God goes, that's not what I'm saying. They're out to lunch all over the place, and you are supposed to be that way to them in their mess. Well, that's not the way I saw this. That's not the way I understand. I'm supposed to be happy, and they're making me unhappy. Right? So God goes, no, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. You're supposed to be meek with wisdom, strength under control, cooperating with God. Meekness with wisdom. I bet nobody in here knew what that meant when you came in. I'm just betting you didn't know. You just thought it's cute. That's a cute word. Have no clue what he's talking about. God said, I'm talking about changing your whole life. Well, don't have to get that serious on me. To meekness with wisdom. strength under control. Hear God, you do what God says. It's meekness with wisdom. And then God says, then God said, this is wisdom from above. I want wisdom. Do you? No, you want to know what to do and tell people what to do and do this and do this and make this. You don't want wisdom from above. Because if you did, you'd listen to me. You know, and then behave this way. And again, I say it before, I just repeat. If we don't behave this way, it means we don't do what it says. So we're being disobedient. You know? So God can't give us anything. He can't give us anything. What do you want me to do? I just be pure, peace-loving, considerate. No, I don't steal, God. I'm glad. Praise Jesus. You want a trophy. You know, I mean, you shouldn't steal. You're not supposed to steal. What do you mean tell me you don't steal? You know, I want you to be pure, peace-loving, sincere. Oh, okay. Amen? Fascinating. And the foundation. And here's the foundation. By the way, this is the foundation where you have to start. To do verse 17, to have a pure heart, is 1 Corinthians 2:2. Now again, the Apostle Paul, most scholars agree, was probably the most intelligent of all the apostles. Most intelligent of all the apostles. Gifted, educated, like that. And this is what he said, 1 Corinthians 2:22, chapter 2, verse 2. And so if he said it, we ought to say it. Paul said, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what I know. That's what I know. Think how God's people said. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your consideration. And Lord, to show us, you know, when we look at this verse, the wisdom that comes from heaven, it's pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere. And we rest in that and look to you, and you go before us. You go before us, and we move in strength. And we move in the power of God. Lord, we just thank you that. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray a covering and protection on each person in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.